Hello, friends. Welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett, the Riverland Roofing Studios. I pointed at my head as if I was wearing a hat, Brad. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing.
No hat today.
No hat. Riverland Roofing, the house up top, the little house up top. Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. Riverlandroofing.com. Come on inside. We've missed talking to you. It's been a crazy couple of weeks just in general for me and Brad. But we're glad to talk to you here today on this Wednesday, May 20th, 2026, after Ole Miss baseball. Not the way anybody hoped or expected it to go in Hoover, per se, but they have been bounced. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Lane Kiffin still running his mouth, I suppose. We're going to do a recruiting show today. Zach actually ended up not being able to do it, but Zach and I will be live tomorrow. Also got Ari Wasserman, On3 National College Football Analyst, coming on Talk of Champions Smart, 10 a.m. Central Time. So be on the lookout for that. We'll be live at 10 a.m. Live here now with Brad, who looks like he's like in a hospital. Am I right? Am I right? Hey, buddy.
We're on the road in an undisclosed location, but we wanted to come and talk to the people and appreciate you jumping on, everybody. This has been a situation to where baseball just couldn't finish. And you know, I think I texted you. It felt like the Saturday game against Georgia when Ole Miss couldn't close out. To me, Ben, that is when the season kind of went south, and they just really couldn't bounce back. Even with the Alabama game. You know, playing so well on Thursday night, couldn't close, played well on Friday, and obviously we know we just couldn't close on Saturday, just couldn't get anything together. And then Missouri, who, you know, historically and I guess numbers-wise the worst team in the conference, just, you know, really hits Will Liberty and Ole Miss just couldn't put some things – it's just not going in a good direction. And I really think it has a lot to do with just, you know, just not closing out that Saturday game against Georgia, and it just feels like things just kind of fell apart after that.
Man, they let maybe Missouri look like they were a team that they were absolutely not. I mean, that's a 16 seed, and you just couldn't do anything really to slow them down offensively. And then from a pitching standpoint, yeah, you just wasn't what you needed. And now, obviously, the regional host stuff, that discussion is out the window. You're not going to be hosting. I think I saw where D1 baseball and others had them like number 17 around that area going into Hoover. To lose like that, I mean, if you were hoping to use Hoover, the postseason tournament, as a springboard to the hosting discussion or solidifying that place, that was the one thing you could not do, go one and done. That's exactly what happened. So it's hard right now to contextualize this is a successful or failure of a year. The bottom line is you're headed to the postseason, and it was only a couple years ago when Ole Miss was missing the postseason, which then we said, first of all, to get this thing back the right direction, it should always be Ole Miss should always be playing postseason baseball. You're still doing that, but the bottom line is you're not hosting. And when you're not hosting, that's where I completely sympathize with Ole Miss fans who are just absolutely beaten down by Ole Miss baseball and where it is, and to not be blowing the doors off of not necessarily the postseason, but certainly knocking the door down and for the NCAA tournament, for hosting, all those kind of things. That's a disappointment. And make no mistake, I mean, Oxford Ole Miss was built for regional and super regional hosts, and more often than not, for the last pick, how many times has Ole Miss been hosted a super regional? When's the last time Ole Miss hosted a super regional? 2009? I mean, it's something crazy. I mean, it's been a while, Brad, and that's where the consternation is.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I noticed is, you know, we had our pregame show from Sewell Thomas Stadium in Alabama. Really nice facility, but it was about 5,000-6,000. And a lot of those people that were there on Saturday and Friday night and Thursday were Ole Miss fans. I mean, and Ole Miss has an incredible fan base. And I've said all along that Swayze Field, if I've had a dollar for every time I said this, I'd be retired and doing quite well. Swayze Field was built to host regionals, whether it be super, whether it be traditional, whatever. I mean, that the season is over at Swayze Field is really disappointing. And I don't think anybody is more disappointed than the coaching staff. But Ole Miss fans, and I have to throw the administration in there as well, because the stadium is built for big-time baseball. And there just have not been enough regionals hosted in that facility over the last couple of years. That's just it. And, you know, you hope Ole Miss makes a run. I mean, there's been talk about them possibly headed to Southern Miss, possibly Oregon State. You know, we'll see where they go. But it seems like they're going to be a difficult two wherever they go. And I would think Jerry McClain and Southern Miss would be just kind of shaking their heads. Do not bring Ole Miss to Hattiesburg. Because the last time Ole Miss went to Hattiesburg in the NCAA postseason, they headed to Omaha and won a national championship. Will this team do the same thing? I don't know. But I think right now, as we talk on a Wednesday, is everybody's just disappointed that postseason baseball is not going to be in Oxford. And Ole Miss fans kind of got a little bit of a taste last year and ran up against a really good Murray State team. But look, I mean, they should have beaten Murray State. And, you know, you talk about what Ole Miss should have, could have, would have. They should host postseason baseball in Swayze every year. I don't think anybody is arguing that. And I would have, and they're not going to do it this year. And that is an incredible disappointment. Ben, before we go any further, I want to say a special welcome to our good friend, Shed Hunger, who is a Modern Woodwind of America agent. He is located in Winona, Mississippi. You can give him a call today, 662-442-4723. They're open Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, but Shed works 24/7, and Shed is a rebel. And we're excited that he is part of the Talk of Champions family. There'll be a lot more to come with Shed, and a lot more to come about how you can save today by working with Shed. Modern Woodwind obviously is a membership organization, and they're about relationships. And they take time to get to know you and meet your needs. And you can get to know Shed by giving him a call or with folks, individuals, families, small businesses. The most important thing is he can help you today plan for life using a variety of tools, including life insurance, annuities, mutual funds, and variable annuities. Once again, excited to have Shed Hunger join us here on the Talk of Champions. Give him a call today, 662-442-4723. Ole Miss obviously exited the SEC tournament the very first game. And there's a thread on the board that's quite lengthy because there are a lot of varying opinions about how Ole Miss handled the postseason, how Mike Bianco handled the pitching staff, not only in Hoover, but in the latter part of the year. It's unfortunate in a lot of ways because of the way that Kay Townsend kind of fell off a little bit at the end of the year. And he has been really good for Ole Miss. And you would hope he kind of gets his moxie back during the postseason run. But it felt like he kind of fell off just a little. And then Hunter Elliott did not have what Hunter Elliott's had over the last couple of years. And that kind of fell in the latter part of the year. Look, this season's been a bit of a roller coaster, not only at the pitching mound, but in offense as well. Tristan Bassetta hit a wall there for a while. He really struggled. He's come on here as of late, had a couple of big hits in the Alabama series. But Austin Fahley, someone that's kind of been up and down. And Will Furness kind of the same way. But you just talk about all of this and you put it inside a vacuum. Ole Miss should host an NCAA regional. And I don't think many people are disappointed in that. I think a lot of people are disappointed in that. And you kind of end the regular season by losing to the worst team in the conference. It's just not a good look. And we could talk about how Ole Miss can now come home and kind of get ready for a regional. But, you know, you look across the way and Mississippi State, who beat you four games this year, and you weren't able to beat them at all. And they run rural Missouri 12-2. So things are just not in the enthusiasm department. They're not great right now for Ole Miss baseball. Now, they can fix that by, you know, depending on where they land, we'll know on Memorial Day, which, you know, that's a lot of time to sit around the clubhouse. That's a lot of time to sit around the batting cages and wait to see where you land while everybody – people can talk about the SEC tournament, doesn't matter, and I get that. But it's also a tournament that Ole Miss historically has done fairly well in. They've never left the tournament this early. I'm not saying this team's any worse than any other teams, but just from a, you know, just looking at it on the surface, that's not great. And I don't think anybody arguing that it is. So if you want to do a silver lining thing, I don't like really doing that, but all your pitching is going to be ready for whenever you head out there. I mean, nobody's going to be, you know, wore out from the tournament. It's not like you went all the way to Sunday. I think honestly, the only way this team was going to host was maybe win three, maybe needed to get to the championship. For whatever reason, the committee does not value the tournament as much as it values regular season. Not to mention, Ole Miss has always kind of leaned on that Governor's Cup game as a possible quasi somewhat conference game. And of course, they lost it too. So, but on the flip side, you look at the numbers for Ole Miss, they're really good when you talk about strength of schedule and that sort of thing, quad one all the way to quad four. So a lot of talk to say Ole Miss, just not a good look losing. Most importantly, not a good look losing to the worst team in the conference and not hosting postseason baseball in Swayze.
This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. He's at Brad Logan underscore, nope, at Brad Logan COTE on Twitter, X. We both write at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Definitive on Three. That is not the QR code on your screen, which is typically the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Definitive on Three. And if you sign up today, it's $1 to try us out for 5 days. And we're talking all about Ole Miss baseball, recruiting, football in the summer, this, that, and the other, you name it. We're covering it all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit. The QR code on your screen right this second is for the Rebel Rivalry. We talked to Thropic CEO Kyle Christensen last week about this game. It's free to play. It's got the best Ole Miss prize pack I've ever seen. If you join it up and play for free, you can enter to win, and you're competing in a game that also includes Trinidad Chambliss and Kiwan Lacey. Again, free to play, but you can also like throw some money at it, and all goes to, if you do throw some money at it, Ole Miss's NIL Grove Collective. So the Rebel Rivalry, that is what you need to play right now. This is the final week for it. A lot of y'all have signed up. We'll be signing up. If we win, we'll give the prize pack away here on Talk of Champions, which includes walking down the Walk of Champions with the team before the season opener, signed gear from Pete Golding, Kiwan, Trinidad, all kinds of incredible things that they're offering just by being the winner of this Rebel Rivalry, which is the QR code on your screen. Scan it today, try it out, play for free, and see if you can't be the one that gets all this cool stuff. And again, if we win it, we'll hand it out to a devoted listener. Maybe it's Illinois Rev. Maybe it's Dakota King. Maybe it's Javon Campbell. Whoever it might be, we will give that prize pack away. But you don't have to wait on us. Double your chances. Play for free at the Rebel Rivalry. That's the QR code above Brad's head. When I think about baseball, before we transition over to football, and Kiffin just still won't shut up. I mean, he's talking again, finally, after what we thought was a social media break. He comes out hot and pardon my take, and starts talking about his Ole Miss exit again with a bunch of word salad. But before we jump into all that, I think the number one thing is it depends on where you want Ole Miss baseball to be. You got to understand where Ole Miss athletics is writ large, right? Like, everything pours into football. Football is the driver of everything. And the reason why Ole Miss has been able to take off in football but also maintain competitiveness, if not outright elite performance, not in baseball but in other sports, is because of how good operationally it is and because of how successful football is. As long as, like, if you're going to make a change in baseball, you have to decide that you, like Mississippi State did, that we're going to be the one that pays. We're going to be the one that goes out. And I don't think Ole Miss fans have that kind of priority. So, like, I understand why it's a little bit more of a harder conversation for the powers that be. What I mean by that is, like, Keith looks like it is a bottom-line business. Well, you're making it to the postseason still. You got this kind of money coming in. Yeah, Ole Miss makes money off of baseball, but not, like, the commitment isn't the same, right? The state knows that they're not competing in football the same way. They're trying to, but like Ole Miss is leaps and bounds better in football, where they can have a competitive advantage in baseball. If you're going to make that same kind of commitment, that's going to cost more money for the fan, more money. Like, so it's a little bit more complicated than like, oh, just go get some new blood. And maybe it is just about new blood, right? Maybe that is all it is. Maybe you can go do like Ole Miss did in the early days, but like, for what it is and where Ole Miss and the college athletics environment is, I get why Keith will be slow to the trigger to just make a move. You get what I'm saying? Because you're still participating in the postseason. You're still, but you're not hosting regionals, and I understand where Ole Miss fans are coming from. And sometimes you just need to change, and it's been 26 years. But right now they're headed toward the postseason. The fact that they're not hosting is where the real argument point stands. I don't think anything's happening to Mike Bianco this offseason is what I'm getting to. And for me, I think it, like, unless you're really ready to go all in and be that program, rather than just try to say, well, we have these facilities and this, that, and the other. I'm talking about really pay out for baseball. Man, I just don't know. You know, football is where it needs to be. Baseball is not. Basketball is not. But that's kind of like the give and take with where the culture is when you got a smaller program like Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss isn't those schools that say we're going to be great and everything all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's a little bit harder of a conversation, in my opinion. I'm trying to be sympathetic to all sides here, but I can totally understand, and I feel the need by some to say, man, they just need some new blood, dude. And I get where I sympathize with that fan, but I'm not doing a good job of explaining it. But it just in this day and age, it's a little bit more of a complicated conversation, Brad.
Yeah, I want to kind of lean into what you're saying. And, you know, this is not necessarily related to any specific decision on any coaching or anything. But I think one point that you made, and Jonathan in the chat says, do we have any idea what the spend is on baseball compared to the rest of the conference? It's a great question, because I was going to point out, I understand, and pushing back a little on the is Ole Miss invested into baseball. I mean, is Alabama invested in baseball? I mean, you know, I don't know. And they've done it really, really well this year. I mean, A&M, how much are they invested in baseball? I know that you look at, you know, that what I mean by that, they do not have big name coaches. If you remember Schlossnagel, everybody knows he left A&M and went to Texas. Texas, we know, is invested in baseball. I mean, we know that Mississippi State is invested in baseball. As Illinois Rep just pointed out, I don't know what their budget is. I just know it's substantial. And then
it's
you look
at in the country. Like, I'm just saying, like, and not to say that Ole Miss doesn't spend, but Ole Miss is spending relatively. I mean, it's in the same kind of tier of spending as most other teams that call themselves championship contenders. But their priorities lie elsewhere, where State has the advantage of saying, well, basketball, we got to figure out real revenue streams that we can attack right now because we're drowning. They did that with baseball, where Ole Miss doesn't have to do that because you got to try to balance wholesale competitiveness across the board with numbers that continue to spike upwards. That's all I'm saying. It's like, if you're getting the results, but if you're getting the results, what's the point? But my whole deal is like, Ole Miss fans are right. Like, you need to be hosting regionals at Ole Miss. Like the fact that you're, I mean, I can't remember the exact record. It was like Ole Miss's SEC record. They've won 70 something games or something of their last 120. I don't remember what it is, or maybe they won. It's not a good SEC record. It hasn't been what it's needed to be for ever since the national championship in 2022. All of those things are true. And maybe, you know, new blood is just, quite frankly, it comes for everybody. I just, you know, I feel like we have this conversation every year, and I completely understand why it is what it is. You know what I mean? And why Keith is slow to the trigger. I remember somebody asked me on the board, they're like, Ben, do you think Mike would ever agree to just like, have a retirement year and walk out gracefully and like go into no, that's not what he's going to do. That's not who Mike is. So I think it's a moot point. I honestly don't think it's really a conversation worth having now, because I just don't think it's going to happen. But I do sympathize with Ole Miss fans who are just ready to experience something else, because you're right. I mean, like, it's a legitimate question. How invested is Alabama? How invested is Texas A&M? How much does coaching in this culture, especially with that sport, where the Georgia. NIL dollar, yeah, how much does baseball, with the NIL dollars being more muted, of course, than the other sports, maybe the you know, certain things like just a new coach, a new, like, that's the kind of stuff that all you need to provide the spark, not necessarily pouring in new dollars. It's just this year, man, especially after coming after last year, and everything you brought back with Hunter and Will Furness and Judd Unimark, not to host, seems like a missed opportunity at least. And at worst, I mean, it's a straight up failure. I mean, because everybody knew what the goal is, and they can still change that narrative anyway. When they won their only national championship in 2022, they weren't making the tournament. Mike Bianco was fired. He appealed to the committee. They said, "All right, go for it." They let him in. They won 10 of 11. The Rebs got hot. It's a great story, but more and more as you get away from it, it's obvious that was the outlier, you know, because honestly, this year, against the backdrop of the historic nature of Mike Bianco's tenure at Ole Miss, this is about what it's been like in the modern era. You know what I mean? It's not been that same, even when you were like back then when they weren't getting to Omaha, at least they were hosting, you know, hosting and then hosting a super. They still hadn't hosted a super in so long, which in my opinion is more egregious than anything. But yeah, I'm trying to be fair to all parties involved, because I understand how tough this place is to be. And a lot of it has to do with the success of the program itself. It's just, it does feel very plateaued in many respects. And for Ole Miss fans, they just want to feel something else. And I get that.
I think the biggest thing to me that jumps out is when you had the opportunity to win one game and your back was against the wall against a team like in Alabama, who's really good, but you played pretty well in the series. It just really didn't show up offensively against a freshman pitcher. Now, he was really good that day. This was this past Saturday. But, gosh, it just really felt like that was kind of how the year has gone. When you had the opportunity to put the nail in the coffin, Arkansas, Georgia, some different games throughout the season, the Friday night against Mississippi State, it just feels like that when Ole Miss needed that knockout punch, they just couldn't do it and just couldn't put it together. And the game against Missouri was just one to where
– that can't happen, man.
You just – you can't do that. You can't lose to the worst team in the conference. And it would be different if maybe Missouri came out and got on a run, and obviously they're not going to. They lost today to Mississippi State. The
run rule.
Run ruled them. So I guess maybe I would feel a little bit different if maybe Missouri got hot. But that's the case. And Ole Miss has had some opportunities this year to do some really good things. And they've done some really good things. But when their back was against the wall and they needed to get OW, they needed to get an out, they couldn't do it. And that's what's so disappointing.
This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Brad Logan. If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, review Talk of Champions wherever you get your podcasts. Just simply search Talk of Champions. Sign up at the Ole Miss Spirit for $1 a new member and try us out for 5 days. The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and affiliate of On Three. About to hear from some of our sponsors, including C Spire, Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. Just bought a car from Alan Samuels. That's the God's honest truth. They got the tag on the back of the car right now. So, go see Mason and Brian and tell them that Ben said hello. They're the best. Let's hear from some of our sponsors. This is Talk of Champions.
Homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Rebels, your truck is here. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford presents the all-new Ram Rebel. It's Ram, the Rebel way. Send an unmistakable signal. Rebel, 24/7. Ram Rebel, from your friend in the car business. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Oxford.
Come by, let's be friends.
I'm Lawyer Philip Hearn. Raising my family here in Mississippi, I've tried to teach my kids to help others. I learned that from my parents. And as a Mississippi lawyer, I want to help you too. If you're hurt in a traffic accident, 18-wheeler wreck, or have insurance trouble, call 601-720-3541. That's my cell. You call, I'll answer. Let's get started. Make your first call to the Hearn Law Firm today.
Bye, babe.
Let's get to work.
Advanced technology to accelerate business growth. There's more to see.
Start my weekend.
C-Spire, customer inspired.
Ole Miss fans. A quick timeout, because I've actually been using Underdog during these NBA playoffs, and I'm not kidding. It's kind of become part of my nightly routine. I'm already sitting there watching games, flipping around, keeping up with everything, so now I'll jump on Underdog and make a couple of picks. It's easy. You're just picking higher or lower on player stats. Points, rebounds, assists, whatever you feel good about. Like this week, I'm riding a couple of playoff scores I trust for higher on points, maybe grabbing a big for rebounds. Nothing crazy, just going with what I'm already seeing, and that's what I like about it. Underdog doesn't feel forced. It just fits into what I'm already doing. So download the Underdog app today. Use my promo code CHAMPIONS for Talk of Champions to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. And present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET or 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Ole Miss fans, look, I know, we're all locked in on the Rebels. Spring football just ended, the portal, recruiting, all of that. But when the NBA playoffs hit, I've got a game on somewhere. And the best way to get in on all the action is by playing on Underdog Fantasy. In my experience, it works because it doesn't take a ton of time. You just pick higher or lower on stats, and you're in. I usually keep it simple. Star guys. LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, whoever's on. No overthinking it, no spreadsheets, just something to make the games a little more interesting. While I'm half watching, half working, I'll throw together a couple of picks while I'm also refreshing recruiting updates, just like the rest of y'all. So join me. Download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS for Talk of Champions. CHAMPIONS to score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code CHAMPIONS. Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. And present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. Or 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT-STEP to 53342. In New York, call the 247-HOPE-LINE at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
I've been trying to simplify things a little bit lately, especially just day-to-day, what I'm wearing getting out the door. I don't want to overthink it, but I still want to look put together. That's kind of where Quince has slid in for me. Honestly, between practices, games, and recording, I just need stuff that works without having to think about it twice. Quince has all the staples right now for spring. Linen shirts, linen shorts, starting around $34. It's lightweight, breathable, and it actually looks good without trying too hard. Their Pima cotton tees are the same way. Super soft, easy to throw on, and they just fit right. I grabbed one of their linen shirts recently, and it's been in the rotation pretty much nonstop. It's comfortable. It breathes in this Mississippi heat, and it honestly looks nicer than stuff I've paid way more for. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/TOC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Quince is now available in Canada as well. That's Quince, Quince.com/TOC for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/TOC. Our thanks to C Spire and Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford, Riverland Roofing, Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group. If you're looking for any kind of health insurance questions, concerns, needs, contact Drew Moak of USA Benefits Group today, 601-953-8449. That's 601-953-8449. Online at quoteswithdrew.com. We want to talk about pressing football questions for the summer going into fall camp. But before we do, dead gummit. Lane's doing it again, Brad. A week of social media silence leads to him again talking about his Ole Miss exit. There's Ari Wasserman on the right of your screen if you're watching on YouTube. The On3 analyst will join us tomorrow because he did his top 10 college football returnees for next season, or top 10 players in college football for next season, and he left off Trinidad and Keewon, which makes absolutely no sense. So look forward to getting Ari's take on that specifically. But here's Lane again. He goes on Pardon My Take today with Big Cat and PFT commenter. And he said this: yeah, I think I would have just came in and said, okay, I'm leaving. I'm very appreciative of everything. You know, I spent a lot of time right there fighting to coach the team, trying to keep everything together, totally respect their decision. But I was trying so hard to keep that together. Like, hey, let us all coach. Let this whole thing, you know, let's see if we can go win the whole thing. And so obviously that didn't happen that way, which then created a lot of it because that was the whole night and morning of that. And then what was going to happen. And then the team meeting moved back and all the things that went with it. And then you couldn't have a normal team meeting because at that time it had, you know, gotten into all that. And then, you know, naming of Golden as the head coach. And so, I mean, I don't know how much it would have saved just going in and saying, instead of trying to say, hey, I really want to go, hey, I'm not coaching, I'm taking the job. But I think you still would. You definitely would have had the airport scene and all that. Woo. Woo. What a word salad of nothing.
It really was. And I just kind of, if folks get a chance to listen to Peter Burns, who joined the crew on Next Round Live in Birmingham, I think he kind of said it best. And I'm not speaking for Peter, but I'm kind of summing up what he said. But I would think LSU, and he's as close to the LSU fan base as anybody, I would think LSU people are eventually, I mean, LSU people, I don't know that they shut his Twitter account down. Lane said that he hasn't tweeted in five days to take a break. But then he started tweeting.
The fact that he knows how many days is the tell, though. Like, he knows how many days.
So he hasn't been posting whatever. But, I think Peter's right. At some point, every LSU fan I've talked to, and it's not a ton, but they're like, when is he going to talk about us? Because all he's done is talk about Ole Miss. When's he going to talk about us? And so, again, September 19th, can't get here soon enough. And I think a lot of this stuff will end. But when he doesn't have his Twitter account, he partners up with Barstool, and I think this is on like Netflix. So, I haven't seen the interview, so I don't know how everything, all the clips I've seen, it's Ole Miss, Ole Miss, Ole Miss, Ole Miss. I don't understand why Lane hasn't turned the page. I mean, I think everybody is, from an administration standpoint, a fan standpoint, a player standpoint at Ole Miss, I think they're very happy with Pete Golding as their head coach. At least that's what everybody I've talked to. And Pete Golding's been their head coach for how many months now?
Since November, December, January, February, March, last year. April, May, 7 months.
It's 7 months, Lane. It's okay to turn the page. And I would expect with the amount of money that he's being paid and the roster that they have in place, I would think Lane is very excited about his upcoming football team because they've got a very difficult schedule. Ole Miss has moved on. And I think it's time for Lane to do the same thing. And I think most people are kind of shaking their head at this moment. And I hate to use a phrase from a Disney movie, but come on, Lane, just let it go. It's okay. It's okay to let it go. And I don't know if there's some type of justification for the decision that he made or why he continues to bring this back up. But he's a head coach at LSU. And I think Ole Miss fans are I think most, if all, Ole Miss fans have not moved past this. I think it's time for Lane to do the same.
I think so too. I don't think he can possibly do so. I will say that, when he mentioned that he hadn't been on Twitter in 5 days, I was like, that's a man who knows, who knows what's been happening on Twitter. Can't stand it, because I think Verge kind of caught him with his pants down a little bit. When Verge came out and said, we had done the same thing at LSU, that ends the whole argument. A lot of LSU fans want to push back against us and say, well, y'all are the ones, not just us, but like just Ole Miss people in general. Y'all are the ones that said, well, he abandoned the team on the way to the playoffs. What do you call it? He said he could have gone about it a different way. And so, quite frankly, he's making the point that
does that mean, Ben? How could he have gone about it differently?
He could have walked in, like he said, and said, I'm taking this job. Okay. And accepted the
outcome would have been the same.
Outcome would have been the same. Because at the end of the day, he couldn't accept the fact that he couldn't have his cake and eat it too. It all comes back to the same thing. He wants to blame the calendar. He wants to blame anything other than the fact remains. He thought LSU was a better job, and he can't just say that without people saying. I mean, he's getting closer to saying that. I mean, he's essentially saying that now, but he wants to be able to absolve himself, and he just can't, and he keeps just digging a hole deeper and deeper and deeper. Main thing is for me, if you're Ole Miss, just beat him on September 19th. Beat him on September 19th. That's the only thing. That's the only time it's going to ever end. You know what I mean? Even if you take away his Twitter account, even if Verge, his AD, comes out and says, hey, if I was Ole Miss's AD, I'd have done the same thing.
He'll find other ways to get his message out.
He'll find it like he did.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like he did on Monday going on Pardon My Take, because I think the world of Big Cat and PMT commenter, but like what they're not going for, like that's still a friendly audience for him. That's still a friendly audience. Just like it was a friendly audience with Pat McAfee when during the year he knew he was leaving. But he did, and he only ever publicly pushed back the whole time on one thing, and that's Ole Miss saying that they handed down an ultimatum, and they did. They said, "Hey, and he wanted to make sure to clear it up. No one had control over me. There was no ultimatum. There was no, hey, I'm not talking to LSU. I'm not talking to Florida. I'm not considering this. I'm not considering that. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. It was, there is no ultimatum, because ultimately with him, it's all about the power. It's all about the power structure. And whenever he loses any kind of power, he desperately tries to cling to it however he can. And in this case, without the power of the Twitter account, he went to pardon my take. And again, offered up nothing of consequence other than I could have done it better. In that way, then, Lane, we agree. We agree. You could have done it better. But I agree with Brad. Move on now. Move on. Go coach them and then see you September 19th. I have a feeling, though, that once the SEC meetings roll around in a couple of weeks, it's going to be more of the same. And then more of the same in the summer when he, again, takes a look at his roster and realizes that it's not as good as he hoped it would, especially coming off $40 million. He's comparing Sam Levitt to Trinidad Chambliss. Remember, Trinidad Chambliss was nothing to Lane Kiffin until he had to be, right? So it's an interesting dynamic, you know. Like, it's funny to see him. It's funny to see him kind of squirming a little bit and not getting his way completely in that way. And it's also nice to see that collectively the massive pushback has been, this was cheap and gross and stupid. So as it peters out, we'll let it peter out too. This is Talk of Champions. Your most pressing football questions for Ole Miss football entering the summer or what?
Okay, real quick. Not necessarily on the field, but there's something I want to talk to you about. And we did not talk about this pre-production, so Ben, I'm going to come from left field for this. But I do think it's worthy of the topic of conversation, as today's show is partially brought to you by Shed Hunger, who is our new sponsor here on the Talk of Champions. He's with Modern Woodman Fraternal Financial Organization. Give him a call today, 662-442-4723, or go by and see him from 9 to 5 at 210 Summit Street. He's in Winona, Mississippi. He'd love to talk to you today about how he can help in any type of your financial need. I want to talk about the RFP in the north end zone. And I think that's something that I had a very brief conversation with someone in the athletic department. And the whole conversation basically evolved from, we're going to get all this stuff built. They're going to be able to enjoy some financial gain from this, because fans are going to have a chance to eat, drink, and be merry, watch the game. And Ole Miss is going to be able to add on to its stadium. I don't know how many proposals that have been submitted. I don't know any timetables, but I do know this is going to be really cool for Ole Miss fans. This capacity is going to be north of 70,000. And also, we haven't talked about this, but you can read all about it on the Ole Miss Spirit. That's onspirit.com, an affiliate of On3. All season tickets are a tight, tight sellout. And people that have had season tickets for years, many have received an email saying that they are not going to be able to get tickets this year. So it's a very, very tough ticket, and this is a good time to be adding on to Vaught Hemingway Stadium. What are your thoughts, maybe not necessarily on timetables and stuff like that, but just your overall thoughts of that RFP and kind of what you're anticipating on the north end of Vaught Hemingway?
Well, the main thing for me is I'm really most excited of all of the upcoming construction and stuff like that in terms of the future of Ole Miss football and athletics moving forward. The entertainment district that's going all around Vaught Hemingway Stadium, and this kind of plays into that. It's like the early stages of that, in my opinion, because what Ole Miss fans need to come to, like, really understand about this and get on board with it. Look what the battery of Atlanta has done for the Braves in terms of the new revenue streams created. Man, like, that's what is coming for Ole Miss, and I think it's a masterstroke. So anything that one can open up new opportunities for fans to show up, but two, get them more bang for their buck, because obviously, like, Congress ain't coming to save the day. The SCORE Act trying to get through Congress, it ain't happening. If there's ever anything as far as laws coming down from Congress, it's not any time in the future. So you have to operate in the near future. You have to operate then as if it ain't bolted to the floor, by golly, we got to sell it. You know what I mean? And the problem with that for the everyday consumer is that you get squeezed out as prices go crazy. You, the common consumer, Brad just talked about it. I've had that exact conversations with a number of different longtime season ticket holders, and they were very upset about it, like losing their tickets. I would then say support these kind of efforts and like get on board with moving forward in that kind of way, because until there is some type of guardrails put up to protect against the predatorial nature of college athletics and fundraising the year of our Lord 2026. At least you can hear, like with the North End Zone, with the entertainment district coming, you will be able to take your dollar while still having to spend it much further, because Ole Miss actually does give a shit about whether or not Ole Miss fans are being left behind. So that's a long roundabout way of saying progress is good. It's a good step. Creating new revenue streams, opening capacity, name whatever you want to about upcoming construction projects. As long as there's growth being done, you know that it's in a healthy place, like as far as vision and where Ole Miss believes that the program can go in the future, if that makes sense. That's kind of where I am on it. Because, like, it's a lot at one time for Ole Miss fans to try to kind of process. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, I don't have my season tickets. How can I get them? Well, there's this new I don't know. I think Ole Miss, as a university, is having to walk a tightrope because they want to make things still accessible to fans. And that's the Rebel rivalry, that QR code. Like, Ole Miss is in conjunction or working with Thropic and all those people to bring you Kiwan and Trinidad in a different way. You can play for free. I think in that way, Ole Miss has been its most progressive and most out in front of everyone else. And if you can continue to be that, the health of the program is only going to continue to stay strong.
I agree. And back to your original question, just the athletes need to be smart this summer because so much is riding on the season. They need to pay close attention to their training, whether it be at the training table, how they take care of their body, and all the workout protocol. So I think it's really important for Ole Miss to be smart, and I know that they will because of the strength conditioning program. It is really good. You know, one thing, Ben, I think, you know, has been really bothering me, and the one thing is we had Ms. Tracy, Ivy Muhammad. I've talked in years past with Ms. Regina Eccles. I've had a couple of different people on the show talking specifically about Oxford, its safety, the state of Mississippi, and race relations. I think the University of Mississippi has been paramount in the advancement of race relations in our state. James Meredith, who came around, you know, in the latter part of his life, has always been very pro Ole Miss and about the advancement of the university. And I have seen so many pundits on social channels talk about how Oxford is unsafe and how people of color are nervous in Oxford and that sort of thing. That's not been the conversations that I've had. And I'm not talking about anonymous sources, Ben, like so many people are sourcing on the internet. There very well could be parents that have felt unsafe, but I have not gotten that from the parents that I've spoken to. In fact, I've had parents that have said that maybe there was a notion that the state of Mississippi, maybe they live from outside the state and they had their preconceived notion. But once they got to Oxford, they understand it's a very family friendly place, and it's a place that's has a beautiful downtown and is a really, really wonderful place to raise a family. One thing that I think is so disappointing and disingenuous here is that LSU head coach Lane Kiffin elected to play that card, and he talked about race. Ben, we weren't talking about the safety of Oxford. We weren't talking about how people of color were treated poorly by random anonymous people. We weren't talking about any of that until he brought it up. So regardless of his conversation, regardless of how he feels or how he's been told, what he did is he decided to get a shovel out and start digging up a whole bunch of graves and digging up a whole bunch of memories about our state. And true or not, now Mississippi, for a lot of ways, and specifically Ole Miss, has done a phenomenal job about righting the wrongs of the past. So many points now to where everything is being brought up. All of this is being dug up. Now Ole Miss is having to go back on the defensive. People of Mississippi, like me, people at Mississippi State, at Southern Miss, at Mississippi Valley, all throughout our universities, all across our towns and cities across our state, are having to become a defensive again and having to show how we have moved forward. And Lane did that. He did that all by that one article. And that's what's so disappointing. Not of what he went through or what a parent might have said while he was on a recruiting visit or with his family to LSU, but the people of Mississippi have once again been boxed in And that's incredibly disappointing. And I'm very disappointed in Lane for doing that. But I do think Mississippi is a very, very proud place. We're a place that's very diverse. We all have very, very, very interesting backgrounds to where, Ben, you and I grew up in small towns in Mississippi, and we have people of color all across our family and our churches and our neighborhoods and our lives. And what I'm so proud of is about how I'm raising my family and about how I was raised by my mom and dad to treat everybody fairly and to treat everybody that God put on earth with respect. And has everybody been that way in Mississippi? Probably not. But now it's 2026, and we're still talking about it because Lane Kiffin put it in his mouth. And that's what's disappointing today. Even so much so, I'm tagged on Twitter on people talking about anonymous family members. Again, after all of this has been said. And it's just so disappointing because this goes so far outside the world of football. This is about real life. And just a disappointing day in Mississippi history.
I don't disagree. And I think that's well said. As we turn now toward pressing football questions for Ole Miss going into the summer, I was more talking about the offseason training video that I saw between one Kiwan Lacy and Trinidad Chambliss. They're out there training in California. Here they are, as you can kind of see this wherever Kiwan does his, you know, podcast on YouTube. Just search Kiwan Lacy. And here they are training together in California. For me, one of the very biggest things as far as questions is that remade offensive running backs room behind Kiwan. There was a question on the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, 513, about Kiwan and the lesser load that he'll have to carry with the revised or revamped room behind him. And I think more than anything, you know, as the season played out last year, especially in that Miami game, in the playoffs when he was dealing with a hurt shoulder, I don't think it's being spoken to enough how important it is that Ole Miss added real options behind him, specifically Mekhi Frazier. I don't want to forget names, and I know I'm going to JT Lindsey from LSU. The kid from they've added Joshua. Meyer. Yeah, they added a lot of guys in the backfield that can contribute for behind him and really lessen the load that really took away from him. So for me, it's Kiwan's health. And if you look at him here, he looks like he's kind of like he did this time last year. I like seeing Traylon Ray out there, the Ole Miss wide receiver. Transition back from defensive back. He was throwing, there's Deuce Alexander, all these Ole Miss Rebels training in California.
I love and it. Love to see it.
Yeah, seeing Kiwan, a healthy Kiwan, and no kind of limitations to his shoulder at all, I think is a big deal. And that was one of my biggest, most pressing questions is kind of watching how that room, after a good spring, kind of follows up behind him. Because those feet, man, are elite. And I saw a recent mock on, I want to say ESPN, and had two Ole Miss Rebels going in the first round. You're seeing one of them in Kiwan, the other one was William Eccles. And that's where, like, the post-spring stuff doesn't make any sense, you know? It's like you see an Ole Miss at number 12, number 10, number 11, all that kind of stuff, which makes absolutely no sense when you consider, one, Kiwan's back, Trinidad's back is number two, but William Eccles, Santerre and Perkins, this was a 13-win team, and these dudes looked like the part again. So, for me, Kiwan's health – considering how important he is in that remade room behind him, important for Paul Constantine and that strength and conditioning staff as they move forward in the summer to get that where you want it to be. And it looks like Trinidad's gained some weight too, man. Like, I mean, he looks a little bigger too, Brad.
He does. And what I kind of fall back on kind of that running back room, we've talked about the depth there. That's something that Ole Miss hasn't had in years. And so I want to kind of reflect on what Chuck Brownsville, the Ole Miss Spirit, said. And he's hearing by his sourcing inside the athletic department in the Manning Center that Mekhi Frazier is really going to be a complimentary backup to Kiwan Lacy. So, yeah, the running back room appears to have quite a bit of depth. And I'm with you. I think Trinidad Chambliss has gained a little weight too. And someone just posted in the chat that they'd love to see how close this room is, whether I say room, this wide receiver room and running back room. And you just saw Deuce Alexander. I'm really excited to see on opening night in Nashville. Of course, can't wait. It'll be here before we know it. But what receivers are going to be stepping up? And that's going to be the question tomorrow. It's going to be the question next week, next month, because I truly believe that Deuce Alexander is a big-time player. Who else in that room is going to take the forward step? Is it going to be Caleb Cunningham? Is it going to be the two transfers from Syracuse? Is it going to be Gill? Is it going to be Cooks? Are we going to see any particular tight end take a big step forward? Caleb Odom, where you at? You know, so we'll see. But those are the questions moving forward. But once again, I love to see how the close they are. I love to see that cohesiveness. And when you talk about a team that makes a huge run in the college football playoff, you talk about teams that have good quarterback play. And Ole Miss has one of the best quarterback, if not the best quarterback in the country, in Trinidad Chambliss, and the best running back in the country in Kiwan Lacy.
Yeah, I think I saw it on Crane and Cone on Threes National, one of known Threes National shows. And one of the guys on there, I love the way he put it. He's like, if I needed a quarterback to lead an offensive drive to save the world, it's the end of the world unless they go down and score from college football. If I'm picking a quarterback,
that's got to be a Jay Crane question.
Which is perfect, like, because, like, I would pick Trinidad too. Like,
yeah, it's a great question.
If you're taking all of the quarterbacks in college football right here and now, find me one that you trust more to lead a touchdown and or scoring drive period than Trinidad Chambliss. And that for me is where, like, give this team its flowers, man. Like, treat them as they deserve to be treated, and that's as a national championship contender. And it does look like Trinidad has gained weight. Now, as far as pressing football questions for the summer, how healthy is Kiwan, which lays into the running back discussion. The second one for me is, has Carius Kern turned over a new Ole Miss leaf? I want to know about any possible repercussions from the stuff that happened in Arkansas on Meet the Rebels that day. How maybe he's changed his attitude. Because for me, it was like a continuation of what I'd already heard, that Carius had not had a good start to his Ole Miss career, that he didn't take it seriously enough. They questioned his attitude and his commitment to the deal. And Ole Miss needs him to be something. They need him to step in and if not start, at least be the fifth offensive lineman for them. He's your highest paid offensive transfer from the portal. He's the one player I talked to, Shea Dixon, who I love to death. He does what I do except for LSU, for the On3 LSU side. He's the Ben for LSU. And Shea was like, the only real loss for LSU in the portal was Carius Kern. But none of that matters if you can't have your head on straight. And so I want to know if Carius Kern has turned over a new Ole Miss leaf, if that was a wake-up call for him. Because if the season started today, I don't think Ole Miss would feel great about who it rolls out there as its starting offensive tackles. But those offensive tackles, in my opinion, would be Terrez Davis and Tommy Kinsler. And while Carius Kern, like, that could be taken in a number of ways, but Carius Kern needs to be pushing those guys, at tackle those guys in the interior. He needs to be out there. And after the stuff in Arkansas, obviously a concern about his commitment and all that kind of stuff. So has he turned over a new Ole Miss leaf? That's my second big pressing question. And what kind of came of all of that stuff from Arkansas for Carius Kern, considering how important he could be for Ole Miss next year?
I think it's very fair to have a concern about the offensive line right now. That's not a concern I had prior to Carius Kern getting into legal troubles, if you will. And I don't think this is going to somewhat, stop his growth at Ole Miss or keep him out of the lineup or anything. But I do think it raises a red flag. And if you had X amount of chances, this is one that's against your resume. And this Ole Miss, John Garrison has done as good a job as anybody on the coaching staff last year by the way that he molded an offensive unit that, quite frankly, in the beginning of the year, Ben, was not great. In fact, it was really struggling. You know, Patrick Kudus was swimming a little bit. Jaden Williams was not doing what he needed to do at right tackle, moved down to guard at one point. Then Diego Pounds is – you remember he was injured like the year before, and he comes back and he's not playing well. And by the end of the year, they played really, really well. And they did have the important part of not being injured throughout the whole year. I mean, they played pretty much injury free. And then Bryson Sanders, who started off a little rough, really turned it on midway through the year and it would finish as a really good center for Ole Miss. So they've got some questions to tackle. The good news is both guards and are in good shot or good shape along with the starting center. But the right and left tackle, you know, there's some question marks there. And now with Carius Kern, with what happened to him after Meet the Rebels, there's a concern there, no doubt.
One of my last questions for Ole Miss, pressing football questions for Ole Miss football entering the summer, It's on the defensive side of the ball. It has to do with Edwin Joseph and Jordan Renaud. Those guys were both signed. Ole Miss knew it wasn't going to get them in the spring. Neither one of them went through the spring. What they look like, where they are health-wise, and I'm very curious to see how they mix in, because Jordan Renaud seems like a perfect running mate, if not primary backup to Cam Franklin on that strong side at defensive end. Otherwise, when he comes out or he shifts down, Jaheim Otis is kind of playing as a big defensive end in those kind of situations right now, because Jordan Renaud isn't there. And he has some upside too. So those two pieces, I think Ole Miss has already improved defensively. One criticism I've seen across the internet, pick your analyst, J.D. Pickell at On Three, Andy and Ari Wasserman coming on the show tomorrow. You pick your guy. I've seen the criticism about Ole Miss being better defensively. An anonymous coach was quoted in Athlon talking about how good Ole Miss was, but had questions about did they do enough in defensive portal recruiting. I don't know how better to explain this, but Ole Miss returns, I think their entire starting lineup, 21 of 24 starters or something like that. Like they returned, it's something crazy. They're in the 20s as far as returning starters, including 13 transfers on the defensive side, all of which, for the most part, started at their former school and returned over 6,000 snaps on the defensive side. They address their biggest concerns, which, like, one thing that my guy J.D. Pickle always brings up is Ole Miss giving up 4 yards per carry last year. Yeah, Miami was ugly, and they got rid of their two of their first worst run defenders. Granted, as a tackling machine, T.J. Dotter, he accumulated the tackles. Prince Will is a sack guy, crazy good sack guy. Against the run, not very good. And Ole Miss replaced them or portaled over, certainly, T.J. Dotter. He wanted to keep Prince Will, obviously, and that's a question. But, like, Jonathan Maldonado in that 74-inch reach and looking like Tavius Robinson, Blake Purchase has been crazy praised by the Ole Miss coaches on and off the record all spring. He's the one that Ole Miss fans, if you want me to pick a defensive transfer, not name Luke Ferrelli and Keaton Thomas, right here and now to buy stock on, Blake Purchase. He could be Prince Will. Prince Will didn't have anything on his resume coming over from Nebraska last year, and then he became Ole Miss's sack leader, started slow and turned into what he turned into, and now he's making over $1.4 million, I think, at LSU, which then you could debate in roster building whether or not Ole Miss should have paid, bet that. I don't know, but he was going to LSU. He's gone to LSU. He's done. Point being, is Ole Miss addressed that side better than it had at any other point in the portal, in my opinion, other than like Walter Nolan, Trey Amos, like that group. That group is the only one in terms of comparable defensive talent and going to the portal to get it done that Ole Miss has done, in my opinion, comparable, if not better work. What they've done here is Jonel Aguero is a starter, Edwin Joseph, got to see him, but starter, Jordan Renaud, potential starter, Luke Ferrelli, Keaton Thomas are starters, Centurion's back, William Eccles, Cam Franklin, Jam Brown. We're not even talking about some of those reserve defensive linemen, Baby Maddox. Need Jay Crawford to be good, but you're returning, even if you didn't, both of your starting corners, and Jalen Braxton, Antonio Kite, they're back. Got a guy in Jay Crawford coming in to mix in with them as well, Sharif Denson. All of those guys started at their previous schools, and we're not talking about Missouri State. Jordan Renaud started at Alabama. Michael Borio started at Florida. Sharif Denson started at Florida. So has Ole Miss addressed defensively enough? Well, you got to see it. Yeah, I'm with you. But on paper, I just don't see the leg that some of these national critics are standing on when they try to delegitimize Ole Miss's title contention status, which, in my opinion, preseason top five should be a no-brainer, but it's Ole Miss. The logo is the logo.
Yep. My biggest question is Jordan Renaud, along with who's the other defensive back that didn't play in the spring?
Edwin Joseph.
Yeah, those two, because they were injured. So that's my biggest one. And there's my second question, Jaheim Otis. Where are you at? I mean, Pete Golden told us in one of the press availabilities, he had a very frank conversation with Jaheim Otis by saying that, yeah, this is your shot, young man. And I think Chaney Young said it perfectly. This will be a make or break year for him. He's got a huge ceiling if he plays his best. I could not have said it better, Chaney. I agree. This is his year. This is his money year. And so that's why I'm buying stock in Jaheim Otis. I really am, because when he went to Colorado, it just really didn't work. He had some great opportunities in Alabama and just really couldn't feel his way out over there. I think I'm buying stock. And I'm all in on Jaheim Otis this year. So those are my biggest questions on defense. I think Renaud's going to be great. I think the defense is going to be so much more improved. And I'm with you. It's really difficult to say that Ole Miss is going to be worse than last year because of the number of returning starters that they have, not to mention how they've kind of filled the cupboard with transfer portal players. I've said all along, I said it to them, blue in the face, Ole Miss could be more talented than last year and have a worse record because of the schedule. The schedule absolutely it's more difficult this year versus last year. You lose Kentucky, you lose South Carolina, you pick up Vanderbilt, you pick up Texas, you've got to go back to Oklahoma, you've got Georgia, you've got LSU coming to Oxford again. The schedule is really, really hard this year for Ole Miss. So, but yeah, from on paper standpoint, Ole Miss is absolutely loaded.
A couple of questions from the chat as we wrap this thing up. Fred G. Rebs 223, do you guys think they're going to pay the buyout LSU owes us? I don't believe they'll do that. Like, how do you even enforce that? That's like I know Ole Miss is going to try to, but, like, there are no rules, and I don't see it. I don't see how they get any of that money recouped. Saints fan 0499, yeah, this is a tryout year for the NFL for Jaheim Otis. Absolutely. It's do or die. It's put or shut up. Or do or don't. Put up or shut up. Pick your way to describe it. That's absolutely this year for him. Hunter Wessling, which tight ends do you predict to emerge and take lead of the tight end room with Wright's departure? Luke Haas better be that guy. He's got to stay healthy. Had a good spring. Caleb Odom also had a strong enough spring. I think he was kind of limited at times. More of a big wide receiver still, but he's that guy. Michael Smith was out for most of the spring, or limited at least. He went through some practices and stuff. I like his body type and what he could be, but he has no production on his resume from South Carolina. It's all projection at this point, and until you see it, you're going to hold back any type of expectations. They really like how Hayden Bradley has developed and come along, but again, same thing with Michael Smith. You got to see him do it. And then Brady Priestcorn. I'm going to get Caden on this podcast soon. I need to reach out to him. I saw him at practice, his spring practice. Said, I'm going to reach out to you next week, and just forgot and hadn't gotten around to it. But now that I've mentioned Brady, I got to bring him back on, bring Caden on at least. He's bullish on his little brother, and he's absolutely loving it, and I think he could play a role for Ole Miss next year. So it's a good room. But the question is durability. I mean, I think all of those guys have their own respective question marks in regards to the durability. From Mary in the chat, is she's graduating in June with her AA in business fundamentals onto the BSA with a 3.96 GPA. Round of applause for Mary, our friend. God is good all the time. God is good, and she is always in the chat if we give her enough time. Tomorrow we will be back, I think, at 10 a.m., or we might be live at 1 p.m. or like noon. We're still working it out. I think like for future Talk of Champions, we want to do Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at noon. And then Thursday at 6. And from that point on, if there's a Friday show, there is. If not, the Thursday at 6 show can suffice. But four straight shows, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at noon, and then Thursdays at 6. We're really going to try to get on that schedule next week. Tomorrow could be a little up and down, but we got an interview scheduled with Ari at 10, whether that's live or we include the Ari interview once we go live at noon/1, depending on how I can get that worked out. I'll let y'all know. But thank you for your patience with us. We're working towards moving to noon shows to accommodate Brad, myself, and also to give y'all something you otherwise don't get on the beat, and that's a kind of a lunch show and that kind of stuff. At SS Sun Lover, I think Jontae Cook is going to go off. Can't wait to see this team play. I think he's going to lead Ole Miss in receptions this year. There's a bold prediction as we walk out of here. Bold prediction number one, Jontae Cook is going to lead Ole Miss in receptions. I didn't say yards. I didn't say touchdowns. I said receptions. That's my first bold prediction. I want you, the Ole Miss fan, to think about your bold predictions. And when we come back for Talk of Champions tomorrow, we'll talk more football things, more baseball things, a lot of recruiting things. The Ole Miss Spirit's the place to go until then. OMSpirit.com and Fit of All Three. $1, try us out as a new member. $1 for 5 days. We'd love to have you. This QR code is for the Rebel Rivalry last week to play with Keywan and Trinidad. You can play for free and get the ultimate Ole Miss football prize pack, including walking the walk of champions with the team on the season opener weekend. You get to get signed stuff from Trinidad and Keywan and Pete Gold and all that stuff. It's an unbelievable prize pack. All you got to do is scan this code and check it out. It's the Ole Miss Spirit no, excuse me. It's the Rebel Rivalry, and we'll have more about it at the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, and Food of All Three. Mary gets it. The Ole Miss Spirit get it now. She understands. We're so proud of you, Mary. Congratulations on graduating. A 3.96 GPA is something serious. I don't know if I ever came close to that. Wasn't a big fan of school. Brad, we now relieve you from the hospital. It looks like that you're sitting in. I will see you tomorrow, my friend. Thank you all for joining us. This has been Talk to Jim.
Bye, Brad.